Min campus alihor. Miai Karsten Schwine. Għakum għal-program iħor fissensi la minn Campus għal-iħor għal-wek fuq Campus FM jaj Karsten Xwira pill-lum il-sit program fit-tielet sensi la nerġaw, nivjaġaw d-darba morru Abu Dhabi nil-taqaw ma Reem Qassem li għal-Eġizzjana u nitkellmu ftit dwar xogħol tagħha fil-qasam tad-diplomazija kulturali u l-manager kulturali. Reem hija persuna interessanti ħafna kelli xortin kollabora magħha fuq proġetti fil-qasam Euro-Mediterranju anke permezz tan-network tal-UNESCO li kienet ħares sar reċentement lejn il-Konvenzjoni tad-Diversità Kulturali li kienet iffirmata fl-2005 u propju matul dawn l-aħħar 15-il sena jew ftit iktar kelli xortin ara l-iżvilupp tagħha fil-qasam komunitarju lokali l-Eġittu speċjalment li Xandra minn fejn kienet topera anki bħala direttriċi tal-programm tal-arti ġewwa l-librerija tal-Xandra, librerija storika illi dan l-aħħar ukoll ġiet żviluppata b'mod sostanzjali, b'mod qawwi. U rajta wkoll tiżviluppa fil-qasam tagħha fil-manager tal-arti tal-affarijiet kulturali kemm meta kienet id-DeVos Institute tal-Arts Management ġewwa Washington DC, kemm bħala Chief Link Scholar, fil-fatt kellna mixjiet paralleli ħanajt hekk fejn studjat tmexxija kulturali il-Clore Leadership Program ġo Londra. U anki bħala Global Fellow tal-ISPA, l-International Society of Performing Arts ġewwa New York. Fost l-oħrajn, il-lista hija twila, noħħa ħa nitkellmu dwar dawn it-tappi importanti f'ħajjita u anki dwar aspetti oħra li l-esperjenza tagħha kemm l-Eġittu, kemm Abu Dhabi, kif ukoll b'mod iktar wies aktar globali fil-verità tgħidilna ħafna. Mhux biss dwar il-karriera tagħha, dwar iż-żvilupp personali tagħha, imma anki dwar x'rat xiexet matul dan l-aħħar snin fl-iżvilupp kulturali imma anki soċjali f'dawn il-partijiet tad-dinja. Ħadd tgħidilna wkoll dwar sfidi kbar li artisti, anki artisti nisa, anki artisti nisa ummiet jgħaddu minnhom biex ikunu jistgħu jilaħqu u jilħqu l-miri tagħhom fejn ħafna drabi l-kollaborazzjoni, xogħol flimkien, il-ħidma sfiqa li ssir fuq livell lokali ma anke fuq livell internazzjonali twassal għal wiriet, għal kollaborazzjonijiet, għal programmi ta' finanzjar fejn hemm bżonn u anke serje ta' konferenzi, seminars u pubblikazzjonijiet illi tagħmel minkejja il-ħafna xogħol li diġà tagħmel anke b'mod iktar prattiku. Ejni semgħu mela lil Reem Qassem.
I welcome back our listeners to today's program in Campus Alihor here on Campus FM after my introduction in Maltese where I introduced today's guest. Today's guest, as you have heard, is Reem Qassem. Hello Reem, thank you very much for being with me on the show today.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Reem, as the listeners will have already got a glimpse from my introduction, there is quite a bit of activity in the cultural field, in the policy research sense, which I admit is so very much close to my heart, because that is my field where I sort of started off from, and after a few years of working more directly in the field, have somehow gravitated back into. But you are also very active in the field of production, of working with artists, with creatives, with audiences as well. and I'm sure we'll come to it, but actually while we're recording this program towards the end of 2021, you're in the midst of one of your festivals, where you literally took an hour out from your very busy schedule, and even this particular year, between 2021 and 2022, when we have the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the foundation, first with 6 states and then with 7 of the United Arab Emirates, from where you are working, living, and also talking to us in Abu Dhabi, and also with the World Expo in Dubai between 2021 and 2022. So there's a lot of activity going on of a cultural nature, but even cultural sort of with a capital C. And with you, as we do with all guests on the show of in Campus Ali or here on Campus FM, we try to sort of look at a field, at a particular field, in case this is yours, but through the steps of the development, of the career development of the guest on the show. Also keeping in mind that many of the listeners of Campus FM directly on radio or also online through the podcast tends to be students, researchers, academics, people who are interested, even for maybe personal and professional reasons, to understand how a career path can develop and where it can go, and how many times this seems to be a leitmotif in this show. We're already in the third series of this show, and I think this is very much what the French call a fil rouge, a connection throughout the programs, that rarely is the development of a professional career a straight line. Most of the times it meanders and mixes with personal stories and unexpected episodes. And in this program, it's also interesting to learn how a person developed not directly in one direction, but maybe a bit also to the side and pausing and moving on in a meandering way. So my first question to you, Reem, would be whether what I'm saying in general, whether it applies to you, whether you see yourself reflected in the sort of very open, adventurous approach to what you eventually do today.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, thank you very much for interviewing me today. It's a pleasure and to share my listeners. To me, yes, my early years and my career development has been always an adventure. I started very early, as I have been studying in a German school in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And my school is known for being a very unique school. Actually, the society in Egypt, they joke about the graduates of the German school. They say they enter the school women and they graduate men. Ah. because of how tough sometimes we are and how strong and hardworking. This is like a societal stereotype. And
yes. When you say it, maybe even from contemporary Western, also multicultural perspective, it might make one stop and consider in surprise, sort of, to say, sort of, you've got female graduates and there's sort of this maybe a bit of a stereotypical, or rather very stereotypical take on sort of going in female, coming out male. Also with all the repercussions today of sort of gender identity and third gender orientation, so on and so forth. But it's very particular in your case, because in the cultural field, as you will be telling us, it's not sort of really much about being female or male, but it's about sort of all those creative attributes, which many times are attributed to a more female approach anyway.
yes, exactly. But yeah, in Egypt, they consider our school is a very tough school, and the style of education teaches us to speak up, to stand for ourselves, and to not just take the knowledge for granted. They used to teach us to always question everything. So half of our grades were on participation and questioning, and the other half was on the exams. Mm-hmm. So by nature, we all learn to develop a strong personality in this school. And actually also the one good aspect about it was that you can actually work after graduation from school with a school certificate, and you don't have to go to university. And what I did was I graduated and I immediately joined the Library of Alexandria at the age of 17. However, I also did my university in parallel to working at the library. So I did full-time study and full-time work at the same time. And this is one of the skills that our school teaches us, to be that hardworking and multitasking and be able to go in two different directions at the same time. So I did Faculty of English Commerce Accounting Department for 4 years while working at the Library of Alexandria at the Arts Department. And I started gradually developing my interest in arts. I started, my very first position was in the graphics department, where I was doing admin work. Of course, at the age of 17, they wouldn't trust you with a big task, so it was just admin work. But I have a background that is interested in dance, because during my early years at school, I was practicing rhythmic gymnastics, and I was actually in the national team of Egypt. I represented Egypt in so many international competitions, went to the African Games, and got lots of medals and awards in rhythmic gymnastics. And then I quit at the age of 15 because of a back injury, and I started coaching and judging. I took international judging courses and international coaching courses, and I started earning my own income while being at school. I had a team, and I was coaching them, and actually I won with them several national competitions with those kids. So my background was interested in music and dance and this rhythmic movements from the very early years. So when I joined the library, at the beginning I was under the graphics department, and by pure coincidence, the admin structure of the department changed, where the director decided to integrate graphics under arts.
Okay.
So by coincidence, I started doing admin for the arts program as well.
Yeah.
And this is where my director, a former director, Maestro Sharif Mohiddin, discovered my talent in coordinating events at that very early age.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And actually, he enabled me a lot, he trusted me a lot, and he used to give me big tasks that mm-hmm. allowed me to grow quickly.
That's right.
And in very few years, I became the coordinator of the arts program of the Library of Alexandria at, again, a very early age. And when I graduated from the university, I thought that I want to advance my knowledge in arts management. And at that time, the arts management was not very well known in Egypt, and it was still a new term in several countries. So I applied to the Kennedy Center Fellowship, the International Fellowship of Arts Management at the Kennedy Center in Washington. And this fellowship actually changed the perspective of how I do things a lot.
It helped me
a lot to learn or to put into perspective the practices that I used to do. So I used to follow very logical steps in managing the program, but I didn't know that these logical steps, they are fall under a certain process that is known of having this title.
Yes.
So it really helped me understand more my skills and my practice, and it helped me also put things into frame.
Yes. So it's interesting because you're making me consider the development even of colleagues, even students, even currently at the University of Malta, where there are various sort of mini programs which look at developing art skills. And there are many routes to coming to the field of management and culture or the arts. And yours is a very varied one. So if you developed hands-on in one of the most interesting historical places, which a few years ago through a UNESCO project, I was lucky to visit the Alexandrine Library of Alexandria in Egypt. But you did that sort of almost recalling what happened to you earlier in your childhood and in your early schooling, which is being trained for multitasking, being trained to approach things from different directions. And in your case, it's so interesting. Sports, development, professional, having competed at international level, so building the skills personally, but also professionally. And then, as you said, by coincidence, but also by having a very important factor as well, a mentor, teachers, people who can inspire and trust and build confidence, which use of bringing many elements together from your early years into then approaching things even more systematically, because you discovered that you could build your own way into this particular field.
Yes, exactly. And this fellowship, it was for 3 years. So it really allowed me to try things out and go back the following year with error and try it again. And during this 3 years fellowship, there was a very critical moment in the history of Egypt, which was the 2011 events. And with the 2011 events, I have, in the middle of all the tough period, I co-founded Agora, a cultural organization with the vision and the mission to facilitate community engagement through arts and culture. Mm-hmm. And the kickoff of Agora was a huge public space festival exactly 1 week after the stepping down of the former president Hosni Mubarak, in a public park that was done completely on voluntary basis from the community and from the artists. And it was the kickoff of the organization towards the vision to continue this tradition of public space event.
Yes, I mean, the name already is evocative of what you had in mind at the time, of in a way capturing the zeitgeist, not only in Egypt. Maybe even listeners will recall the images or maybe the radio broadcast from Tahrir Square, but so many other places in Egypt, in Cairo and Alexandria, but also throughout many other North African and Middle Eastern cities, actually of giving the name at the time of the Arab Spring, the Arab Revolution overall. And we'll also come back to this, sort of the idea of Agora as a place for community coming together and action, and also other projects which very interestingly, at least over these past 10 years, which we will now come to in the next part of our interview today, my guest Reem Kassem speaking to us from Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, but for now focusing on sort of the formative years between Egypt and also the connection with the Kennedy Center in Washington, but we'll come and look into more detail into that development. Reem, however, before we started the program, we also said we'd plan for 3 tracks today. Indeed, many guests tell me this is one of possibly the most difficult part when they have to choose 2 tracks or sometimes 3 tracks. In your case, as you told us, the dance connection, the music connection, the cultural connection is very strong. So let's listen to the first track. What have you chosen us for us as a first track?
Yeah, I chose Enta Omri for Kulsoom. And this track Was the very first track that I have listened to for Om Kulsum, and it was because of my late father, who has introduced me to this type of music. Where we had in Egypt a tradition of in Ramadan on iftar, we always used to listen to the radio, and on iftar they always play one song for Om Kulsum, where all the family gathers and listens to her. And I remember that moment when I listened to the song. It was like an awakening moment in my brain. Because my idea of Om Kulsum when I was a child was, this boring music, this boring poetry, blah, blah, blah. This is not cool. Yeah. But that moment, while having iftar with my father and my family and listening to this specific song, I don't know what happened, but there was a moment of awakening in my brain.
Sort of wow, a moment of inspiration somehow.
Exactly. And from that moment, I started discovering more and more her music and her lyrics. And I want to share that with our listeners today.
Very good. Let's listen to her. After those beautiful, beautiful sounds by Om Kulsum, in fact, it's not the first time that we've listened to Om Kulsum on this program, and I think it's indicative of the stature of the importance, not only for the, let's call it simplistically, Arab world, in terms of music, in terms of narration, in terms of bringing communities together, but really on an international level. Because even from a Western perspective in Europe, in the US, slowly, especially during the period that my guest today, Reem Kassem, speaking to us from Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, but relating to us for now the story related to sort of the Egyptian early phase in her career, is one of those figures, Om Kulsum, who sort of really stands out. There are a number globally, and she is definitely one of them. It was interesting, Reem, before listening to Om Kulsum, you mentioned sort of the inspiration that a figure like her can provide across generations, across the ages. And before listening to her, you also mentioned this particular moment about 10 years ago, with sort of the coming together of various communities, cultural, creative, social, activist, within the Egyptian public sphere, which for you was definitely an important milestone, an important stepping stone, but definitely also leading to more steps in the future. Do you want to take us on into this very engaging story you are telling us?
Yes, definitely. So I was, during my early years working in the library, I found myself fond of the ancient history of Alexandria. And that by nature came from all those interesting lectures that we used to attend and all those beautiful events that my colleagues from different departments used to curate together. And I always felt that I have a certain connection with the past. Where when I visit those ancient the ancient city center, when I go to the ruins of the ancient agora, I definitely felt that there is a certain connection. And then in 2007, I was participating in the International Biennale for Young Artists that took place in Macedonia, in Skopje. And the theme of that in Biennale was Seven Gates. And it was speaking about different cultures. And in that Biennale, I participated with a research about Alexandria that was called The City of Seven Cultures. From this research, I came across the ancient Agora. And since 2007, long before the events in 2011, and I had this dream to revive the concept of the ancient Agora one more time. And the plan was in the back of my head for so long. And when the moment, when the right moment came, I just acted. I didn't have time to plan. I just acted. I said, this is the moment to establish Agora and start this tradition of public space festivals. And actually the festival was called Start With Yourself Towards Positive Social Development. And it stayed for 6 editions after that very first edition until 2013. So from 2011 until 2013, twice a year. And the festival visited very difficult public spaces in Egypt, under bridges, on public beaches, in public parks, different and difficult settings. During a very challenging period with changing governments and a period of unrest and lots of violence. And in 2013, there were some unfortunate incidents that encouraged me to change the title of the festival to become Bab al-Bahr, which means Sea Gate, and to start focusing on countering violent extremism. So the festival, in those early 3 years, achieved its objective with highlighting social development, positive social development. And with the events that happened in 2013 that encouraged me to change the title, I changed the objective of the festival to start looking at how can we counter violent extremism in societies. And then I took the festival to Tunisia on the beach that witnessed the terrorist attack in Sousse in 2014. And actually the festival became an icon for Sousse because it highlighted that this beach can become again a tourist attraction and not just having a bad memory of having witnessed a horrible event.
Yes, in a way, you sort of put your finger where it hurts. You located the pain points, which was very prevalent, very strong, very deep as well. Not something recent at all, which definitely, however, came to a boil during the years you're describing to us, between 2011 and 2014, with also a lot of repercussions on a global dimension, within the Arab world, so to speak, within Europe, within the Mediterranean as a whole, which is a place of beauty and engagement, but one which is really sort of full of all these conflicts and these tensions. It's been so for centuries and for millennia. But it's really interesting to hear you say how you sort of took the bull by the horns, to keep to another everyone's Mediterranean island image, and really try to sort of together with people and on the basis of what you had already built before, through an educational, a formation, this historical context, which you keep evoking, keeping you sort of grounded within the traditions, not from a perspective of freezing them or just sort of using them, say, maybe for a commercial or touristy type of approach, but actually keeping them at the heart of the community. And Reem, I'm sorry for having interrupted the narrative, the flow there, but what you said also about the Biennale of Young Artists of Europe and the Mediterranean struck a chord with me, because those were the years where I was accompanying the Maltese artists. An NGO I am a member of, Initiamed, was a founding member in 2001 and 2007 indeed. I was in Skopje as well, but there were hundreds of us. And there was a member with Pierre Melak, a very good writer here in Malta. And it was a really great experience, which then you yourself seem to have adopted into other contexts, Egyptian and Tunisian, because the Biennale is very much about working in an urban setting, in a living setting, going, I remember, in Macedonia as well, at the times of working even with communities on the margins, in the years after the Balkan fractures. And I remember even meeting sometimes with colleagues under one of the statues of Mother Teresa, a very popular figure, obviously, there, native of the place, who sort of somehow threw a light all around that. So this is really engaging, Reem, because somehow you are really giving us maybe not all planned beforehand, but even leading you to the beaches of Tunisia, of Sousse, and for example here in Malta, I'm sure even listeners will recall those particular periods where there are these stories, these pain points, which you have, however, sort of really taken to in order to discuss, in order to address, and in order to work together through a cultural perspective. Even the title of Bab al-Bahr, which to us in Maltese, being an Arabic language, essentially means the gateway to the sea. Bab al-Bahr.
Yes, exactly. And actually, I continued Bab al-Bahr for a few more years until 2018. However, it is also worth sharing that you as a person or as a cultural leader, after having done all this, you start developing a sense of the responsibility towards your society and your followers and your audiences. They look up to you as the person that always brings to them interesting events, difficult events, and disrupts the norm of doing cultural events in Egypt. And by 2016, I have already been very exhausted. And I started growing. I had a son at that time. And when you don't have children, you have more courage because you can throw yourself anywhere. Go to these officials, go there and request permissions, and then they turn you away, and then you push more. But at that period, I don't know what happened to me, but I was a bit exhausted, and I decided to take a break. Not take a break by quitting or by stopping what I'm doing, but by eventually finding another job. And this is where I decided to leave the library, and I moved to the UAE to have a new job. And simultaneously to moving to the UAE, I started clearing my mind and looking back at the past 13 years, where I considered the achievements that I did in the Egyptian society in terms of public space events and community development unique. And I wanted to not only document them, but also investigate them further. And this is where I became interested to pursue a PhD research, to document all those findings, practices, but also research them further and put them into a formal policy framework eventually.
Let me pause you there, because it feels like a good place to stop and reflect a little bit on all these connections that you're building in your own personal and professional development, with repercussions also on sort of looking back, looking forward, the no mean small footnote side story of having a child, of raising one's own children, which again is very prevalent even in stories of this kind, where one sort of has a number of realities one is going through, including travel, changing of countries, working with various people and different communities across a continent. And then also, however, having one's own personal needs and plans and dreams, even for one's own future generations. In order to do this, let's transition with another track. You've chosen three tracks today. My guest, Reem Kassem, speaking us from United Arab Emirates, taking us through Egypt, Tunisia, soon off to the UAE, in fact. But before we do that, and focusing a little bit on your reflections, even in terms of your academic PhD work, and then leading on to the more present part of your career development, let's listen to the second track. What have you chosen for us this time?
Well, this time I have chosen Sayyad, which means fisherman. And this is song by one of the underground bands that I used to manage in Egypt in my early years, career years. And actually, they are no longer underground. They are now one of the most established bands in Egypt, and they won a UNESCO award. And in this song, they are speaking about fishermen in Alexandria, and about fishing and how fishing is also replicating luck and replicating our life in a Mediterranean city. So I will leave you with this interesting song by Masar Ilberi, Sayad.
صياد لو حتى كان شاطر من امتى كان السمك عامل لناس خاطر وهيعمل ايه صياد لو حتى كان شاطر من امتى كان السمك عامل لناس خاطر وما دام صاحبت البحر وفردت له ايدك يصبر على رزقك هو اللي حيصير بس انت غني ومين كتر المواويل وارمي الشبك لهناك والصبر اخره جميل بس انت غني
So that was indeed an interesting aspect of your previous work as well, which goes on into your current work, Reem Kassem, my guest today on Min Campus Ali, who are here on Campus FM. Again, connections in terms of geography, history, culture, language, where Sayid is the Maltese word for fisherman, and one can get those feelings, those sounds, which somehow evoke worlds which are different, sometimes distant, but also very close to local realities from a Maltese perspective. But even, I'm sure, listeners from all around the world who will find those hooks, those connections, which speak to us volumes, both in terms of words, as we're doing in an interview with Reem Kassem today, but also to the music have chosen to us. Reem, we've come to the final 15 minutes or so of our exchange. And we've got sort of the more recent period of your career development, of your career path, to speak a little bit about. We left your story when you were gravitating further east, moving to the United Arab Emirates, where you still operate today. There's still stuff you need to narrate to us, because there's the foundation of more cultural activities. Your work, however, also on your PhD, which you intimated a little bit to us about, and eventually will come also to maybe a quick look ahead for you. Will you tell us a bit more about sort of how your PhD work linked up with your move to the UAE, and maybe telling us a little bit how it's inspired also the future next steps in your career?
Okay, so yeah, my move to the UAE was in 2016, and I keep saying that if I was very conscious at that time, I would have never did this step. because everyone always says to me, we never expect you to leave Egypt. I'm so much connected, in especially Alexandria, in the past of Alexandria and the history of Alexandria. And leaving was an unconscious decision. That wasn't, I don't consider it a bad decision. But when I look back now, I would say I would have never taken this decision. Anyway, I moved very quickly. I found a very quick job. And this job was at the Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Foundation to work on the Abu Dhabi Festival for Programming and Cultural Affairs. And very quickly, I changed positions from cultural affairs to education when my colleagues discovered my background in engaging communities, etc. And I cannot say it was an easy experience. It was a very tough experience, very tough on very levels. The environment in the UAE is very different than Egypt. And the work dynamics are also very different than Egypt. And I moved to the UAE alone with my son as a single mother. And it wasn't an easy thing to do at the beginning, to find a house and settle and get familiar with the society and the community, find a nursery school. So it was a tough experience. That became more pleasant after a few years, when I started, when I changed my job and moved to the Department of Culture and Tourism, the Culture Foundation, where I am at the moment, part of the Performing Arts Programming Team for the Culture Foundation's theater. And the Culture Foundation is actually, to me, at the beginning, I looked at it like the library. It made so much sense to me. I felt that I am going to revive the glory days of the library with that venue. Because the Culture Foundation is the very first foundation that was built in the United Arab Emirates back in 1981. And when the late Sheikh Zayed unified the seven Emirates, while we are celebrating today the 50th anniversary of the UAE, the very first article in the constitution was to establish a culture foundation. And that was it. That was the culture foundation that was established at that time with his directions to support three pillars: visual arts, performing arts, and literature. And this is how it is actually now as well. So moving to this job gave me more stability, gave me more security, and by nature I had started to know the country and know the culture and create and you know dissolve in the city as well.
During that interesting time, these sort of almost milestones moments where you've done a lot in the public sphere, in the public space. Traveled, but somehow the Alexandrine Library in Egypt and now the Cultural Foundation in Abu Dhabi serve sort of as almost, to use another image, lighthouses and themselves that sort of lead and connect. Who knows? As you're talking, I'm thinking, who knows what's next?
Exactly. And during that period, I have started working on my PhD. And I spent more than a year actually working on my research proposal with those very big charts where I put every single topic I worked on, every single aspect I tackled in my workshops and festivals in Egypt in front of me, and connecting them all to reach a common topic and to clarify my thoughts and define my way forward. And at the beginning, before the pandemic, there is the before and the after pandemic. Before the pandemic, my PhD topic was purely focusing on building resilience, helping citizens to build resilience to counter violent extremism. Because my theory was, after working that long on the ground with people from Egypt and having witnessed so many difficult events, being in the middle of the difficult events, my theory and hypothesis were that if only we get to help individuals develop resilience, we would be able to prevent more violence in the society. And as much as culture is being used to achieve some negative stuff, it also can be used to achieve to counter that negative side. So I was always thinking that I should be studying how our work can help societies emerge stronger and develop resilience to prevent them from eventually becoming violent at home or violent in the society or becoming an extremist. And then after 6 months, I finally submitted my proposal and started the study at the University of the West of Scotland. And then 6 months later, the pandemic.
Yeah. A whole new reality, a curveball. On the one hand, a spanner in the works. On the other hand, an opportunity which opened up. Very brief, it reminds me of when in 2011, I had submitted my doctoral proposal to Professor Enrico Oliver, University UNESCO chair in Tarragona, in Catalonia. And soon after, the first inklings of what we described as the Arab Spring started happening. So literally, moving and changing and a territory and a map. You described your map of ideas, which you joined up really interestingly before, needing to be completely rethought and revised. So was that the case also with your encounter with the pandemic from an academic perspective?
Yeah, exactly. So with the pandemic, I knew I had this side of me where I can always rewire my brain to see opportunities during difficult times, which was the case during the events in 2011, where everyone was concerned with the violent on the streets, and I saw the opportunity to establish a new culture, a new habit of public space events. And this is what happened as well with the pandemic when we had our meeting 15th of March, when we were told theaters will be closed, go back home, lockdown, and is it. Well, I did two things. First of all, I started reading a book that told the story of the Spanish flu. This book is called Tail Rider, How the Spanish Flu Changed the World. And I spent few days under depression after reading that book. Because at that time, we were told that the lockdown will stay for 2 weeks. But after reading this book, the book literally said it's going to last for 2 years. It literally said this. And the book explained all the measures that we went through during the past 2 years. Yeah. It explained the lockdown, it explained quarantine, it explained every single thing. And it even explained the new variants and how viruses develop and how viruses change and survive. And the book was like an eye-opener to me.
Yeah. Can you repeat the title again?
It's called Pale Rider. How the Spanish Flu Changed the World. And the author is called Laura Spinney. She came out and she said, after the pandemic, after COVID, she said, I am a pandemic historian. That's a very rare specialization. I would have never imagined that my book would become a bestseller.
Unfortunately, it reminds me a bit of an interview I saw with Ken Follett, the fictional historian who writes historical fiction, whose books about Middle Ages Britain go into a number of pandemics as well. And I remember reading about masks through veils, and that really rung a bell. And when I saw an interview with him later, he said, so there's a bit of history one could refer to see how we can deal with these situations. So in your case, also because we're down to the really last couple of minutes, I would really like you to tell us, however, how this then inspired you in your next and current step, because obviously you once again in your career took this and developed another connection of not how to separate people, but how to bring them together.
Yeah. So basically this book gave me another awakening moment that this situation is not going to go away and it will last and it will eventually change the way we do things forever. And this is where the idea of the virtual theater and the virtual platform Basita.live came from, where I thought arts is very important for the humanity, and now this is a real crisis. How will artists survive? How will venues survive? The cultural sector all won't be able to survive not having sustainable income and being forced to share all the content and all the work online for free, because people need it. People under quarantine need it. People need it to feel better. So I thought to create a tool that would help the cultural sectors worldwide generate income from online content, fair income, while being able also to protect their intellectual property and copyright. And this is where we started. This is when we started working on Basita.live with my two other colleagues and dear partners who are experts in technology and digital media. And we together in 2 months published Basita in May 2020, and we started consulting with artists from all over the world how we can better develop the platform further to enhance the technology. And the pandemic taught us that country borders are no longer there. We are all operating as a one world. There are no country borders. If you are working online, your audiences can be literally from anywhere in the world. And that's where we created this slogan and our vision to become a one global cultural sector.
Mm-hmm. Reem, you brought us to sort of the end, but also another beginning, the end of this program and the end of this career arc that you have taken us through over your years within a few minutes. But at the same time, it's opening up and connecting what you've been doing with people physically in squares and places where violence has struck or terrorism has struck. The fear connection, ironically, on almost an oxymoron, where, however, rather than distancing people, you work even digitally and still even physically to bring connections together. Reem, the last thing I will ask you is to tell us something we don't really do much in this series, but we've got a third track coming up. So can we sort of leave each other by you telling us what we'll listen to and why?
Well, the last track is a Khaliji song that represents more the culture of the part of the world that I am in now. And the life period that I am living at the moment, it's for the singer of the Arabs. He is called the singer of the Arabs, Muhammad Abdu, and he sings poetry, classical Arabic poetry, and this song is called Ikhtalafna, and Ikhtalafna means we got into a disagreement, a positive disagreement, and it speaks about a man and his a woman.
Reem, I thank you very much for being with me on the show today. All the best with everything, and let's listen to the track you chose for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
اختلفنا مين مين يحب ثاني اكثر مين يحب ثاني اكثر واتفقنا أكثر أنت أكثر تدرم للصحاري من المطر أكثر وأكثر من عدد رمل الصحاري ومن المطر أكثر وأكثر كيف يخفي حبنا والشوق واضح وفي ملامحنا للهفة ملامح كيف يخفي حبنا والشوق واضح وفي ملامحنا
smajna l-intervista ma' Rim Kassem minn li Xandra l-Eġittu bbażata Abu Dhabi u tħaddithna fuq vjaġġ interessanti ħafna dinamiku ħafna u intensiv nittamali ospitkom u bħalejhom nistedinkom terġgħu tnaqdu mija programm ieħor il-ġimgħa d-dieħla fis-sensiela minn kampus għal ieħor saħħit.